All right, just like to get started here. We'd like to welcome everyone to our... There's an echo over there.
Hold on, it's a song.
It's like a leader. Dude, you get to play back.
Okay, we'll try again.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know why I was doing that.
That's all right. I'd like to welcome everyone out tonight to our CDRA meeting, October 13th, 6 p.m. regular meeting. And we'll start off with a roll call.
And Justin is absent. Kevin?
Yeah.
Mike?
Here.
Paul?
Here.
Randy is absent. And Sam?
Here. Has either one of them let you know that they wasn't coming? So maybe they'll just be a little late?
I think they're just running.
Okay. Next item on our agenda is the approval of the minutes from, and we're going to break this out, so we'll approve the minutes of the September 8th, 2020 regular CDR meeting held at 6 p.m.
The 8th?
September 8th. September 8th. So it's the minutes.
October, yeah, September 8th, September 22nd.
Yes. So we'll do the 8th first to approve those minutes.
Well, I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for September 8, 2020, 6 p.m. regular meeting minutes for the CDRA. I'll second it.
Okay, I have the motion by Russ and seconded by Kevin to approve the minutes of the September 8, 2020 regular CDR meeting. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Did you say October?
I hope I said September 8th.
September 8th.
Are you going to do each one individually?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we have to do each one individually.
Okay. Yeah, but we're approving the minutes for this meeting, right?
We got in trouble for approving the agenda item, so that's no longer going to be on our agenda.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Oh, that's a change, huh?
Yes. So the next thing is to approve the minutes of the September 22nd, 2020 special CDR meeting held at 6 p.m.
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes of September 22nd, 2020 special RDA meeting held at 6 p.m.
Second.
So the motion by Sam and seconded by Russell to accept the minutes of September 22nd, 2020 special CDRA meeting held at 6 p.m. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next on the agenda is the approval of claims. Invoice dated 9-9-2020 to 10-9-2020 in the amount of $70,619.64.
What was the grant for Burton and them under that? Do you guys know anything else?
Those are the pass-through monies for the CLP.
Fixing up that house.
Oh.
Fixing up his house there, that historical house. Need to mention that we've welcomed Randy.
Yeah, I got him out.
Sorry, I'm late. All right,
I just put in that he came in after.
All right.
I'll make a motion to approve the claims of invoice register dated 9-9-2020 to 10-9-2020 in the amount of $70,619.64.
I'll second that motion.
Yes.
Okay. I have the motion by Sam and seconded by Rondi to approve the invoice register dated 9-9 of 2020 to 10-9-2020 in the dollar amount of $70,619.64. Roll call.
Kevin?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Rondi?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Okay. Director's report.
Okay, I won't bother with the detail. There's a little bit of change in money coming through the National Park Service because you'll notice here in the management plan that was sent to the Secretary of the Interior, signed by Senator Bigler in 2009. You even notice we put here that previously Chelsea Christian had played that role. And so that, for that reason, we have to have a minute entry that shows that was what you have in front of you. It shows that we did projects for the fiscal year just ended of $1,336,350. That's for this fiscal year. And then also two projects carried over from last. So I won't bother you with the details here. The recap sheet is where I wrote it down. I just have to have a minute show that the chair community will receive a final report of the projects we did during the fiscal year and the two projects that carried over from the previous fiscal year, that they total $1,336,350. Okay. Now, what we'd like to do is Jeff's going to take a few minutes to give a report, and then we'll come to the next item. No, we're going to, no, go ahead. Let's see if we're going to go ahead. You'll be paying.
This is getting off.
You see how fast I went on that one? Hey, listen, Jack, why are you $1,376,350 in 1 minute? How long did you bat?
Contour Arena is doing fine. We had a full schedule last month for weekends, but we had some cancellations because of the COVID thing, and I guess that's just the way it's going right now. October, we had a birthday party there last Saturday night. A good time was had by all. And this coming Saturday, we have a ranch versatility show, which will be from 8 o'clock in the morning probably until 9 or 10 at night. And that will close out October. For the coming year, things that we've scheduled so far.
What kind of show is that? A ranch, you said?
Ranch, soup ranch, versatility. An obstacle course on your horses. Get off on a big rod, you lead your horse around. And I was set up one 2 years ago, and the horse I was practicing on, or practicing with, trying out the course on, I got on the rock, led him around, and he was only a couple of feet away, and I thought, shoot, I can jump on him. And he moves faster than I did. Anyway, that's the way it goes. You only lose 5 seconds for a wreck. 3 years ago, the World Series team roping come to the arena. A friend of mine is the one who puts it on, and he said, you know what, I just don't know if you guys can meet all the requirements. And I said, well, come and tell me what the requirements are, and let's have a look. So he did, and he said, you got to change this, 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 this. They do about 90 teams an hour they run through. So it's pretty dang fast. The cattle got to keep moving. And so we made the changes, and they said, yeah, it went pretty good. Then we had one the next year. We had several last year. This coming year, they've scheduled all of the World Series ropings at our arena. We've come that far. Everything's gone good. We got one in March, April, May, June, and July. Brings in a lot of people. Let's see, we got, I don't know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, probably about 6 or 8 weekends scheduled for next year, all weekend things. We had probably our best event of the year. We had it 3 or 4 weeks ago, and that's the eventing out on the course. We had 172 horses there. We had all of our inside pins filled and all of our outside ones. Not all the horses, but if they want to put their feed and stuff in there, we did not have one pin left over. So, and that was a pretty good deal for us financially. We could have 4 of those a year, we'd be in great shape, but we only have 2. So anyway, that's where we're standing on the arena. The new tractor is working really good. Both of you'd like to come down and take a couple of rounds? We could.
It's all right.
I don't know if I have time to teach you, but you know, because it's pretty complex.
Yeah.
Anyway.
There's a new groomer.
You don't think of old boy?
New groomer too.
Yeah.
Oh, we got James Atkinson. You've heard us talk about him before. The course designer. He is also not only a internationally renowned course designer, he is an internationally renowned tarot artist. And I told him that you cannot use the Black Widow out on the course. And he said, yeah, okay. So I came early one morning and there they were out on the course with the old Black Widow, tore the crap out of it. The rollers on the back of it were, the angle irons were flipping, and there's 9 shanks on it. 7 of the 9 shanks were bent clear back. And he said, well, it works pretty good. If you hook a rock, you can usually pull those out with it. And yeah, I imagine. So they did $1,200 worth of damage to it.
That's about the one we bought with the echoes and the carry jig. That's the old one, right?
The old one. And so I figured that we should be responsible after using it for as many years as we have for $400. They paid $800 and we'll be able to put it back and it'll be just like new. So it's a good thing for us. Anyway, any questions? Okay.
I would just like to add one little thing.
Sorry,
Jack's comments. So, and we've had a great summer. You know, with this virus stuff, at the first of the spring, people were canceling left and right. We thought we were going to have a terrible summer. Financially, and Dave can confirm this, we have had an excellent summer. Past couple of months, we've turned in well over $40,000 just in the past couple of months.
Great for you to do outdoor stuff. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's been a good summer for us.
Good.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for all your efforts there.
Let me through this. Kevin and I could probably do a cancer patient. I got a corporate tech company, but I could get a memo from all the patients. The husband cancer is to wear a mask. So, okay, that's right on the line. Listen, very quickly. Bull keeps pushing me on this, and I appreciate it. They keep doing all the research I can on how we can use the money for the CARES funding. And I found out here that one of the priorities they're pushing now is to use it for low-income housing. So I went through all this to determine if it's a good way we could use some of the CARES funding. However, in working with the finance director, it's a moot point, because he said after you buy the transformer, it's going to cost about $300,000, not $250,000, and he's got some other, so that's off the table. So I have a backup plan I'd like to present to you tonight as to how we can do the hookups and carry out the part of the Aspen Village projects that we told CDBG we would do. And also, I keep working with major entities to upgrade the units themselves so we can carry out all 3 phases that we've had in that CDBG grant. And so I'm going to have Paul come forward, because I asked Paul to run some numbers and to get with Tony Kelso, and we think we have a way we can do this. What I'm proposing is that we pay for it out of the rental receipts we get from the apartments. When I was on the Oily Rocker Trust Fund Board, they came to me one day and said, would you please take over those apartments? We call them the Triangle Apartments. From New Horizons out of Richfield, we want to do business with them. I said, what's the deal? He said, well, it's an outstanding loan. He said, if you give us the loan for 1% and put a new roof on, we'll do it. And the payment was about $900, it's been paid off. And so all along, we felt like that the money that comes in from the apartment should go back into affordable housing, so that would qualify using some of it to help the housing up there. And we have $557,000 in reserve in the RDA fund, and a good part, significant part of that is from apartment revenue. So he's going to make a presentation that I'm proposing that we use some of the money out of the reserve from rents to be able to pay it. So go ahead, Paul.
Paul homes are approximately 40 foot average from the meter to the trailer. So We're looking at 40 foot of 3/4 inch poly, which is, how much is that a foot?
Another broadband would be $6,600.
But it's very minimal on the materials to hook them up. You have to dig down by the meter and hook on the line that they left there, dig over the trailer, then we'd have to do a little hand work underneath. That would be the hardest part, but once you get under that trailer, you only have to be 6 inches deep with your water line. Because they don't, it's stagnant air under there, they don't freeze. You'd probably have two fittings, one half of the meter and one where you hook to the home itself. So you're looking at under $200 a hookup for materials. The labor would be the bigger cost. I figure me and one other guy could probably do 3 to 4 a day. So it would take, there's 32 of them, I believe. So, you know, 2 weeks we should have it done. And as far as liability, if I know we don't have a plumber's license, could work with Tony. He could have a guy come and inspect the work, and we might have to pay him a little bit for his just to use his license or a plumber, and any plumber, you know. But, done that before quite a few times, and never had a problem. So anyway, my concern is if we don't go ahead and do this, most of those people can't afford to do it. And it would be a good way, a fast way to get it done before winter hits and be done with it. And then we can kill the whole system, and everything would be on the new system.
Why can't you have a plumber just connect them, get the main line in and let him connect to the, because you might have to deal with the old poly or those types of things, and he'd be more versed in making that adapter.
None
of them I know are poly, they're all PVC. Well, except for the two couple new ones.
And that's even worse.
We'd probably have to insulate from what comes up out of the ground. We'd have to put an insulation on that just to protect, make sure it didn't freeze, which is awful cheap.
My concern is the liability.
Well, and that's what I say.
I don't think we should touch it.
Well, if Tony would agree to do the hookup and inspect it, whatever, then the liability would be on him.
Who do they call? So if the city went in and did...
If you pay the plumber, he's going to accept the liability on the hookups.
Yeah, but then if they have a break and they're going to say, well, see, install it, then the city's going to have to fix it.
That's why I say you have to make sure... That's something you could work out with Tony. I know Tony would sign off on it because you're going to have a break with poly for 40 feet. I mean, it's...
Most of the homes are connected with PVC from the main line to the house.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what I'm understanding?
Yep.
Okay, and then in the home itself, though, you're going to have whatever, okay? Well, hasn't that been a problem every year for so many years of lines breaking and no way to isolate them and all of that? So I guess... Does the liability outweigh we're trying to eliminate some problems that exist and it's not going to go away, and probably if it's left up to them, they're never going to be able to get them in. I think you got a rare opportunity while you've got Paul available, and maybe I shouldn't be saying anything because it's a bad political move, but it makes sense to maybe try and get this thing done. It's not going to be that big of an expense, and I don't know whenever you're going to find... We don't have time to do it as a city, for one thing.
We shouldn't do it as a city.
No, we shouldn't, because that's against the policy.
Right.
Tony can slip in there and work with the excavator, get them done. My suggestion would be to get it done. Sometimes you have to take opportunities that are not going to present themselves down the road.
I think if we can dig it in and do that, but I think it needs to be bid out as far as contractors going in, tying them in. Because then it takes it, if we dig them to that point, and then it saves it, that'll save some money on the contractor, and then they just tie them in.
When you say we, are you talking the...
Well, like if Paul wants to do the work to dig them in, and then contract out a contractor to say, come in, we'll have it dug, this is what we expect of you, and this is on you.
Have you talked to Tony?
I haven't.
Well, you got Tony and you got Williams guy.
Yeah.
I mean, if we do that something, but to tie it...
That'd just be the plumber that would tie everything in on both ends.
Yeah. There'll be a lot of concrete repairs and different things up there too, though. There's a lot of driveways you're going to go through, and there's a lot of concrete and other things. It's not going to be quick.
There's a couple, but not very many.
There's quite a few of them.
The meters are all behind the curb and gutter, and I can only think of three that would be in concrete. And I'm not quite so sure we can't miss that concrete. Anyway, I'm just saying, if we don't do it, it's not going to get done. Because our people just can't afford it.
And also, if you keep faith in CDBG, because we're supposed to do this, we had to, because the bids came in too high, we had to take it off the table. But it also will help with the efforts we're making to try to get a major entity to come in and help people upgrade those units.
So, do we know actually up there how many is owned and how many is rental units?
I'm trying to determine that. Out of the 33, it's kind of complicated. That's exactly what we're trying to find out, because that's one of the things they asked me to determine. I'm going to do that this week, to get the number of renters versus the owners. I'm going to do that.
Because I don't feel like we should be doing it on any rental unit at all.
What the other concern that I would have is there's so many homes that are not even livable. When is the city going to do something to make them get them out of there?
I know we've started with at least one of them. I think he's got a court to use, he's saying, like the 28th of October for
the one that starts.
On the east side.
There's some that you caught fire and still there, the remnant's still there, and I mean...
Mark, is there a way to take whatever set money and say, just kind of like the irrigation project per se, and say, this is what each household gets that money, you find your own contractor to tie this in?
Well, only we thought we could use, after he left, I did a lot of research through the McAdams office, and what they suggested here, they even pushed to redo it for the renters, because they figured that low income renters, the feeling they had is that if this poses something where these people would never be able to afford to do it. But then when he had no CARES money left, that's when I thought, well, we got $557,000 in reserve, and we meant to use that for affordable housing. This would be a way to do it. And I'm going to be going up there to find out, get the names of the renters, the units that are going to be yanked out of there, and get those out of there. But if we could get a start on this, it would help us clean that whole mess up there.
What if we set that as a criteria, that we visit each home, determine the owner, and then try to take action on the ones that are rentals and the ones that are not being used and really should come out. We could make that assessment, and we could actually get letters to them that they got to get them out of there.
Yeah. Well, they didn't even get meters put to them. Those are their question.
No, if there's somebody living in the place, there's a meter there.
They're living there, yeah.
Yeah, but if it's a vacant lot, there's not.
Yeah. So they didn't even do a meter to a lot.
No.
I don't think they put a meter in that. But we need to, I agree with you, clean them all up. The idea behind this is if we can figure out a way to get started and go in there and determine, especially if some of those renters, we're going to... Again, like you said, urgent needs of the lowest income renters is what they want to focus on, because there are some, we use the words here, marginalized. So I agree with you, if you got an affluent landlord and he's renting and he's gouging, we should make him pay it. But we're gonna try to assess that. But what I guess I'm suggesting is that whether it's, we find out that with 33, there's a 10 up, whether we tell the assessor both against you, we can do that. But I guess what we wanna see if you'll agree to is the overarching plan, where a special project person, Paul, would coordinate with Tony, or whatever plumber you bring in, and have a plan together, put together. Then we'll identify the units.
What about the roads and whatnot? Are they all tore up and not?
Yep.
Yep.
They're a mess.
Mike, could you comment on that one?
They're a mess, but we gotta get a drainage issue done before we go into asphalt roads.
So the project isn't finished?
No.
But this is just, I don't know, that has been an eyesore and a problem for, what, should we say 30 years?
Sort of long as I've been around.
And this is the first attempt that I've seen the city to try to do anything about it. And we can drop the ball and leave it half done, or we can get the water done, and then the next step probably should be the drains, and then the next step probably should be the roads. But I say that because we would not do this for any developer. A developer, by today's standards, would have to put all the infrastructure in themselves.
Precisely.
Yep.
But we got a problem here that's existed from day one, and it's not gonna go away. And the more we put it off, the more it's gonna cost. That's just my vote.
So my question is, Mark, this is CARES money you want to use for this?
No, we could have done it. But the CARES money we're allocated, $310,000, is gone. Because by the time they buy and install the transformer, it's gonna be $300,000. He's got about $10,000 in sanitation. That money's gone. That's why we said we could tap into the rent reserve.
Okay, so then.
That's not hyperbole. The whole theory behind it, when we took those over, is if we can build up reserve money from the rent, we can turn around and use that to help with more affordable housing.
So I guess my question is, are we gonna use citizen taxpayer dollars to do this with?
No, this is coming from rent receipts from the triangle apartments.
Well, isn't that the city's too, ain't that the public's too, more or less?
Pardon me?
Isn't that the public's too, more or less?
No, uh-uh.
Well, it comes to the city.
Well, it's the user being the pub, we don't put any tax dollars into that at all. Then people pay the rent, and the rent builds up the reserve fund.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, my concern is if this gets out, we went up there and done this for these people because they can't afford it. Who else in town can't afford to get a lateral put into their place that we're gonna get hit with? That's my concern. Who else is gonna find out that we went up there because they couldn't afford it, and we took care of them? I want to help whoever we can help.
The answer to that would be, this is why we made an RDA project, so we give government funds in some blighted area. This is I think Kevin's alluded to that. This is a long time postponed blighted area with public health and public safety issues. We just let go and go and go. And it's a targeted low income market, which is why we got the $250,000. It's because all those people are very, very low income.
So what do you think it's going to cost to get her done to come?
The material would be $6,600 about.
Just a mess.
$20,000. $15,000 to $20,000.
We're going to use that rental money?
Now, the bid on Terry's bid, I believe it was like $66,000. That he had in the bit just from the meter in.
I think we need to get a plumber's estimate before we do anything.
Well, I'd say have a couple plumbers look at it, or three, whatever.
Yeah.
Have them look at it and assess it, and they might see a little more stuff that needs to be done, and maybe just come up with a little more firm estimate, I guess.
Just want to cover bases.
Well, Paul, you don't mind my saying, I thought that the whole purpose of this was for you to make the proposal, and then do exactly what he said, get the estimates and come back with some numbers.
Yeah. We don't have any low-income subdivisions in the community.
Yeah.
This is a unique deal, and there's no other subdivision like that.
What I don't understand, why all of a sudden the concern, you had it on the last bid, you had it on the bid that Terry, or when you bid that project, it was to go right in and hook them up.
So Terry, you assume the responsibility, though he had the liability, not the city.
That's what I'm saying. I could go ahead and do the work, and we could use, I could work for Tony Axley. I could work for Tony to where I would be covered under his license or some anybody's.
And then he'd have to be willing to accept the liability.
Yeah, if he would be willing to accept the liability, and you'd have to put in writing, you know, but.
And then you'd use the city track tool and stuff to dig it, or mini?
Well, or.
Why not?
Yeah. I'm not worried about so much about the money or any of that, paying for it. I'm worried about the ramifications after we do it, what comes back on us as a city.
Well, the fourth east subdivision up where yours is supposed to be a low-income subdivision too.
That's all because.
But their utilities are where they're supposed to be out there, aren't they? On that one. I don't, sorry I'm going today, I'm just trying to catch up.
I mean, my only thought is it could get into an argument is technically their utilities ain't up to code because they're all dead-end mains. And they need to be looped in.
I don't know. Like I said, I could do more than that. We've had worms.
I mean, that's the same idea they have up in Aspen Village.
That's all, we got problems, Scott.
Oh, we got problems, we gotta solve, but I think we gotta be very wise how we solve them. Very wise, because we're being watched.
Well, you know that, that's politics, yeah.
I also point out though that this isn't technically on the agenda with it being a financial thing. I don't know that you can really make a decision on whether.
No, it's a proposal. The teacher said, we made a proposal, that's all it is.
Okay.
I'm not taking action, but it's a proposal.
Yeah.
Then we get the data, then you make a decision.
Get a couple estimates to work out.
I mean, we want to do what's right. We want to do the right thing and everything.
We put that money into the new main and everything. If we don't get them hooked up, it's.
We have fire hydrants in there now.
Yes.
Well, I think it's gonna save us a lot of headaches down the road. All of those are connected with PVC pipe out to the old main. Is that where they're going, or are they going to the new main?
The new main.
They're going to the new main.
Oh, it goes, the meter's red. Just go from the meter in and hook up.
So they've connected to their PVC to the new main?
Mm-hmm.
And the new meter?
No, it's poly.
Poly, it's poly. So all the trailers have been connected to the new main?
No. They're just the new meters, the meter and the center stuff.
Right, but that, when you asking that all the current PVCs are connected to the new main, which they're not.
No. Oh, that's okay.
None of them.
That's what I asked, and they're not. So we've got a
there's
mess waiting to happen.
There's one in the process of being done. The owner himself is taking it on.
Okay, so there's one that's being done, that leaves 31.
And that's a concern too, though, when they're doing the work by themselves rather than hiring a plumber.
Why?
You can do anything on your own house and you assume responsibility.
Pardon?
You can do anything on your own house and you receive total liability.
At the same time, you can see, you put on an application, see a problem if you get a bunch of unqualified people doing it. Even though you can do something, that doesn't necessarily mean the outcome's gonna be good.
That probably part briefly got away with putting PVC in there to start with.
Well, originally that was owned by one owner. It was a
PVC pipe.
Originally it was in one owner subdivision. City had nothing to do with it. And then the owner outright sold all the lots individually to the people, which.
Yeah, it was a trade.
Yep. So originally it was just a trailer park.
The chances with this poly of there being a leak after it's installed is pretty slim.
Pretty slim.
If it's installed right.
Yeah, they're all.
Oh, I'm sure. get leaks on the hook.
I'm not saying he might be the exception that can really do it by himself, but to do it properly. So I don't wanna think I'm putting Chris down or something.
Well, this would...
I think it would be worth looking into getting bids for it, for sure. I mean...
Me too. I like what Paul's saying. I think it'll work going through council or another plumber, whoever. I think we need to open maybe to cover ourselves there. We need more than one.
Right. And see if any of them would even be interested, because I know that was Terry's big deal. And when he bid it, he said that was the biggest headache of the whole project. So...
Okay, all we wanted to do is get it before you.
Okay, anything else?
Thanks, Paul.
Somebody make a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn the CPR.
Good.
A meeting.
I'll second that one.
Russ makes the motion and Randy seconds. So we'll adjourn our CPR meeting. Take just a few minutes break and then we'll start our city council meeting.